And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on a Wednesday afternoon as we record this. I sure hope you're hanging in there, Blue Jackets fans. It's been a rough stretch. We'll get to some news and notes here first before we bring in our guest this week, play-by-play voice of the AHL Cleveland Monsters, Mr. Tony Brown. We're going to talk about the near future of the Blue Jackets organization, the players, the prospects, playing just up I-71 in Cleveland. So look forward to that conversation for sure. First with the Blue Jackets. Wow. 12-6-0 on November 26th. And then, boy, the floor has kind of given way since then. 3-9-1. So that's three wins in the last 13 games. It's been a month, folks, since they have won a game in regulation. December 5th versus San Jose. That's what they're up against right now, including two straight really unfortunate losses. They've allowed seven goals in each, losses to Carolina and Tampa. Sure, two of the best teams in the National Hockey League, but the Blue Jackets are really in a tough way. The schedule maybe lightens up a little bit, but the situation doesn't. Zach Werenski, Elvis Merzlikins, Alexander Texier not at practice again today. They will miss Thursday's game in New Jersey per coach Brad Larson. And so the hill just gets a little bit steeper here. Cole Sillinger, who left Tuesday's game with undisclosed injury, did not skate today, but he is going to travel to Jersey. And I think the expectation is for him to play. One other thing to get to, this is something to smile about. Jake Voracek on Thursday will become the 358th player in the 100-year history of the National Hockey League to play in 1,000 games. That is quite an accomplishment. Nobody has played 1,000 games entirely in a Blue Jacket sweater, but he'll become the fourth player to hit that figure with the Blue Jackets, joining Sergei Fedorov in 05, Vinny Prospel in 2011, and Scott Hartnell in 2015. And he'll become only the second Blue Jackets draft pick to hit 1,000 games, Rick Nash being the other. Now, there's a few that are coming in the years to follow, but right now it's only Nash, and it will be Jake Voracek as of Thursday. So the easy part of a rebuild, and I think I'm going to be writing about this for the Sunday Blue Jackets Sunday gathering, the easy part of saying you're going to rebuild is the first steps to do it, just the excitement around doing it. Let's rebuild this thing. This is the hard part right here. These are the trying times where you've got to stay the course, where the losses pile up. And sometimes the only thing that can keep you really of sane mind if you're a hardcore fan is what the future looks like. And we've talked about Kent Johnson, Carson Kuhlemans. There's a few other really bright prospects coming down the hopper. But today on Front Nationwide, we're going to look at the future of the Blue Jackets organization, or at least the collection of prospects who are currently playing for the Cleveland Monsters of the AHL, the players that are right on the cusp of the NHL. And we've set aside five forwards, two defensemen, two goalies to chat about. And we thought who else would be better to discuss these players than Tony Brown, who is the play-by-play voice of the Monsters, watches these guys on a daily basis. And really, in the American Hockey League, you do a lot more than just play-by-play. you are really a part of the operation, so you get to know these guys as well. Tony, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be here. Really appreciate you reaching out with the invitation, and looking forward to this chat.
Yeah, so a couple of these guys showed up in Columbus today as members of the taxi squad. Let's start with the forwards. What are you seeing with Liam Foudy? Now, this is a former first-round draft pick. This is a kid that can absolutely fly. I think the Blue Jackets thought he was NHL-ready, said he was kind of beyond the AHL when they brought him in last season. Now it appears they want him to spend some time in the American Hockey League. He's done that. He's played some games. What's Liam Foudy's game look like to you? What kind of growth have you seen? And maybe what is left for him to figure out at the American Hockey League level?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, the first word that comes to mind you talk about Liam is skating. I mean, just a world-class skater. And, it's something that when you talk to his teammates and his line mates about him and what he sort of brings to the table, that's at the top of the list. I mean, especially at the American Hockey League level, the way that he can sort of spearhead the rush through the neutral zone and sort of get into the offensive zone clean with those entries just makes such a big difference. So, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And this year, he's tied for second on the team in points. He's got 6 goals, 11 assists, 17 points in 24 games this season. And he's really come on as the season has gone on. So playing on a line often, I mean, really there hasn't been a lot of hockey to be played lately. Sure. For the Monsters. They've had just one game in their last 26 days on the calendar, if you can believe that. And their last game was just about 3 weeks ago. So, there hasn't been a ton of hockey to be played. Who knows what the combinations will look like when the Monsters get back to action this weekend on the road. But he has been playing with Kevin Stenlund and Tyler Sekura on a really effective forward line there. And he's just, to borrow an old sports phrase, he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink. I mean, he's good. The guy that gets you set up in the offensive zone. He's the guy that gets you in. And he and Kevin Stenlund in particular have had a lot of great chemistry. And with him, it's just about his amazing acceleration, which is really leaps and bounds beyond what you typically see at the American Hockey League level. So Monsters fans got their first look at him a couple of years back in the playoffs. Actually, he played about 8 games. Yeah. Right at the end of his junior career. And just from then on, I mean, he's been a guy that as often these guys pop up in the American Hockey League, guys that you love watching at this level and just see based on their skill set, they're not going to be here for long, not going to be here forever, but really entertaining player to watch. And yeah, it's just all about that skating with Liam.
Now, so the question that scouts have had with him are his hands ever going to catch up with his feet? Where's he at with puck possession, with sort of the skill at the polish aspects of his game, because he can fly, and that's going to be enough. He's going to have an NHL career, as you just said. I think you're bang on. He's going to play in the league for a while. You don't skate that well and not make it. But I think rather what the skill quotient can be here is going to determine if he's a top 6 guy or a third line checking line plus type guy. Any sort of elevation with what he can do with the puck?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think really in all aspects and all phases of the game, he's just shown a lot of steady growth, particularly, last year was, I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, was just a weird year in the American Hockey League, what with the taxi squads and the shortened season. And it really felt like a completely different league. But there were times even last season, he was just absolutely dominating games at this level. So I think when you do that and then you head into a somewhat more normal, quote unquote, normal season this year, at least for a while there, the confidence has just swelled and swelled and built and built. And, like you said, playmaking, puck possession, working on the half boards, seeing lots of power play time, killing penalties, doing everything at this level. You've just seen that confidence grow and grow and grow. And absolutely, I think I've seen growth from the first time we saw him on into the present day. And he's just a player that at this level, again, brings to the table something that you just don't see that much in the American Hockey League. And that's this totally world-class ability. And I think he's sort of, coming into his own a little bit here throughout the, even just the last couple of months of this season. He just seems to have sort of clicked into something and found something in his game that he can really, use to his advantage. And that's, like I said, getting into the offensive zone and giving his line mates an opportunity to put themselves in a position to receive the puck. And he's putting it right on the spot. And just ask guys like Stenlund and Tyler Secura there how much they enjoy playing with him. I mean, it's a common refrain when we talk to these guys throughout the season, how lucky they feel to be able to share a line with him. Yeah. Just a player at this level that is, in a word, pretty darn special.
Yeah, cool. And I assume, Tony, if he's playing with Secura and Stenlund, that he's on the wing.
Yes. Okay. He has been primarily on the wing this year. And of course, Kevin Stenlund and that great wrist shot down the middle there on what's been a really effective line.
Cool. Let's go to Tyler Angle. And this is a really interesting guy for me. You root for these guys. Seventh round draft pick, 212 overall in 2019. I'm going to look real quick here. I can't imagine. That's probably pretty late in the draft. I can't imagine too many guys after him. Five players drafted after him in that draft. So not quite Mr. Irrelevant, but he is not even close to Mr. Irrelevant with this organization. I think they really like this kid. He has yet to play for the Blue Jackets. He looked great up in Traverse City. He looked like he wanted to run the joint with some of the other guys there. This is a really interesting player, Tyler Angle, on the small side. But just tell him that. He seems like an incredibly driven young man.
Yes, absolutely. And he kind of came in and took the Monsters by storm last year in that strange shortened year, just 23 games that he was able to get into last season. But he led the team in scoring with 24 points last year. And, there was some conversation. Was the American League, like we talked about a second ago, really what it normally is last year with the taxi squads and every team without their four or five, six best players at any given time last season? Well, that just creates opportunity for guys like Tyler, who, without the strange situation, would still have been in junior with Windsor. So he gets this great opportunity last year, catches a lot of attention, from the coaching staff, I'm sure the hockey ops staff with Columbus. And boy, did he ever take advantage of that. So the question was with him heading into this season, is he going to be able to sustain that? And while the goals have not really come quite yet, he's got two goals, 15 points this year. He has been one of the Monsters' top scorers all season. He has shown flashes. One of those two goals, just a spectacular move. I mean, he's really a high-end skill guy. And I think, adjusting, it really was an adjustment, I think, from last year to this year in the American Hockey League. But, he has been an important guy for Cleveland all year, again, playing in all situations and being able to blossom as a pro alongside some of the great veterans the Monsters have in their dressing room. I mean, a great attitude, certainly a guy that's fun to talk to, in terms of interviews and stuff like that. And a lot of personality, not just off the ice, but in his game too, I think. He's really creative. He finds ways in tight spaces to free himself up to make plays. And he's been, I think if you ask the Monsters coaching staff, he's been a guy that, of course, like any young player, there are areas of his game that I'm sure he's working on that his staff wants to see him improve on. But all in all, for a young guy, he's checking a whole lot of boxes. And just as a broadcaster, you love those guys. They're just fun to watch. Creative players that once they get into the offensive zone seem to be dangerous from anywhere on the ice in terms of making plays and scoring. And so he's definitely been a guy that I know Monster fans and myself too have really enjoyed watching play this year, and glad to see him sustain some of that really great productivity he had last season that, again, kind of came out of nowhere for the Monsters. I mean, the expectations were, I don't know what they were, let's see what this kid can do. But boy, he didn't look like a kid who wanted to go back to junior, if you know what I mean.
And he was drafted out of junior as a center. Has he played mostly wing there in Cleveland?
Yeah, he's been on the wing this year too, on one of the top two lines for the majority of the season. But I think for him, it's just putting together, every aspect of his game to sort of match up with what he can do offensively, which is really, pretty spectacular.
Let's move. We're talking to Tony Brown, play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Monsters, the Blue Jackets' top affiliate, American Hockey League. And we're talking about the players who are on the cusp of making it with the Blue Jackets, or at least the next wave of prospects, players you could very well see, or dare I say, are likely to see the rest of the way here, at least at some point. This is a name that will jump out to a lot of people because he's been a name in the organization for a while. Trey Fitzpolansky had, of course, the rough break last season. It sure felt like he was on the cusp of getting recalled. The Blue Jackets have said as much. He hurt his knee, out for the rest of the season, earned a direct phone call from Jarmo Kekäläinen after his knee surgery, who told him to stick with it, hang in there, and get better. And he's a word of encouragement. NHL GMs aren't exactly known for doing that. Walansky's come back here with a big start, almost a point a game guy. He's only played 10 games. He's been rested in a couple of games. They've got a strict sort of no back-to-backs, is my understanding, for him, just to make sure they let the knee get a base of strength back again. This is a Cam Atkinson type player, 5'7", 195. Oh, he looks thicker than that to me. But Tony, tell me what you see from him. And this is a triumphant story, really, to have him back this year and see him playing as well as he has.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's, you know what I mean? It's easy to root for certain guys, and he's definitely one of those guys. Just a great personality. He's, you know, beloved by his teammates, of course, but he's willing to engage with the fans. He's willing to do whatever the organization needs him to do. And boy, that was really a heartbreaking injury last season, because you said it. I mean, he was off to a great start with 9 points, I think, in 9 games there before he got hurt. And, it's just tough to see a guy in that situation go down and have to bite the bullet like that. But if ever there was a season to miss, right, it was probably that COVID year last year.
Yeah,
and, successful surgery in the offseason. And really from the start of this year, as we were waiting for Trey to get back and get into the games, I mean, that was something everybody was looking forward to, I think, around the team, was just what he's going to bring. And man, he came out just like gangbusters. I mean, he was scoring immediately. He had multi-point games in a couple of his first games back. And that same sort of aggressive style, he's got that low center of gravity. And we talked in seasons past about what a great mentor he's had within the organization in Nathan Gerby for a smaller player, and just how to use sort of your height to your advantage in certain situations and gaining leverage and stuff like that. But he's a guy with just a fantastic shot. He loves to shoot. He loves to score. He's always thinking about, what he can do with the minute he hits the offensive blue line. Another guy that, not to repeat myself, but is just truly fun to watch play. And of course, plays with a little bit of an edge too. He doesn't back down. He's sort of, you know, like some players that are undersized have that little chip on the shoulder. I don't know if that's where it comes from or what, but he plays with a little bit of extra grit, and he's been a lot of fun to watch just improve and get better. And so, you know, who knows when that NHL chance is going to come for him to show what he can do at hockey's highest level. But I certainly wouldn't bet against him. And he's a guy that whenever that happens, if it does for him, a lot of Monster fans and a lot of folks in the organization, myself included, are going to have a smile on our face watching him take that step, because his attitude throughout this injury and in showing up to the start this year and doing all the right things and staying disciplined in his rehab to get back, get ready to go, and then not to play with any sort of timidness or anything like that, as sometimes you see with guys coming off serious injuries. It was just, it's just a lot of fun to watch, and a guy that you just sort of cross your fingers for a little bit, because he's put in a lot of work and he's earned everything he's gotten in hockey, that's for sure. And those are the guys that you hope succeed. You hope everyone succeeds, but maybe you root a little harder for guys like that.
Yeah, and he's pretty, I mean, my mind's eye here, my memory tells me he's fairly tanky, right? He's pretty thick.
He's sturdy.
Yeah, I would say. He throws it around a little bit. Now, here's one question I always have for the shooters, because I think this is such an important thing in the NHL. Does Fitzpolansky just let it go, or does he dust it off and let it go?
I mean, the situation dictates. He's just got great goal scoring instincts, I think. And, we've seen him score a lot of big goals, overtime goals, stuff like that. I remember earlier this season, he had a great goal to force overtime. We were on the road in Toronto against the Marlies. I mean, he just plays right till the end of the game. And every time he's got the puck on his stick, he's looking to do something with it, whether that's putting it in the net himself or setting up his teammates. He's just got great instincts in the offensive zone. So, you know, I don't know if I could pigeonhole him one way or the other. He got that big one-timer rip on his offhand there, but he can also make a nice silky play in front of the net. He just likes to shoot.
Yeah. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Next player, this guy, Josh Dunn, was the captain up in Traverse City and certainly fit the bill. I mean, just felt like a leader of men. He's 23 years old, so he's up there for that tournament, certainly a couple years older than most of the players there. But this is a big kid. He's got a hockey frame, 6'4", 210. He's a centerman. I think I just watched this kid play and I say, he's going to find his way to the National Hockey League and play some games. Fourth line guy for sure. I don't think it's anything higher than that. But he is a sturdy, competitive bastard. And I say that in the nicest possible way. He comes from a great family of great hockey players with great Ohio State ties, of course. Sisters played at Ohio State. Tell me about Josh Dunn and the season he's having. I get the sense he's a real anchor of that team.
Oh yeah. He's been a great, great player, and he's really come on here too in the last, you know, five, six, seven games for the Monsters as well, playing in a bottom six role this year. But you know, like you said, very versatile, great at in the faceoff circle, a guy that his teammates all have a lot of respect for. And, you know, he's gotten praise recently from, you know, one of the last games we played before we took this crazy month long COVID hiatus or whatever we want to call this. I was talking to Mark Letestu, just, you know, hey, give me a guy that you've been really pleased with in maybe the past couple of weeks. And he did not hesitate at all. He said, oh, Josh Dunn. He takes instruction well. He, you know, knows what kind of player he wants to be. He's determined to work on the things that he needs to work on to get back to the next level. And I think the little taste he had with the Blue Jackets last year, whenever that was, really wet his whistle for the next level, because he's just got that great attitude you like to see of players that maybe go up for a little bit and then come back to the American Hockey League. And that's just that determination to take the opportunity to play it. The American League level and turn it into another chance up top. So he's a guy that I think has his sights set on a long NHL career, and you know, a guy that has a lot of the tools to make it happen. And one of those things he brings to the table, like you said, is size, but also a great hockey IQ, and a guy that you know, just is able to get to the front of the net on the power play. He's able to do a lot of different things for you, and he'll do whatever you need him to do. And I think that's why the coaching staff has been so pleased with him.
Yeah, that's great. This is a local kid here, and I almost hesitated to put Carson Meyer on the list because he's 24 years old. I've spent some time in university for sure, 4 years. So sometimes those guys take a little bit longer, but 24 years old is sort of on the late end for prospects. But you may call me a homer all you want. Maybe there's some hometown discount happening here, Tony. You want this kid to make it. He's got a great shot. Played his way from an AHL-only contract into a two-way deal with the Blue Jackets, which is really saying something. But Carson Meyer he's been through some stuff with injuries, all kinds of stuff. The kid can shoot the puck. I think he's trying to become a tougher, harder-to-play-against type player. I think he's figured out that his ticket might be third or fourth line role in the NHL if he's able to get there. What are you seeing from the local kid, Carson Meyer, in Cleveland?
Yeah, you know, Carson kind of reminds me of, you know, just from last season to this season, a little bit like we were talking about with Tyler Angle. He shows up and playing on an AHL deal last year, kind of catches a lot of attention with 9 goals. I think he was something like third on the team in scoring, right up there in terms of goal scoring on the team last year. And like you said, earned that NHL contract, which I think was a big deal to him. And You know, he was really hot out of the gate this year. You're right on it with that scouting report. I mean, the big thing you see with him is his fantastic shot. And yeah, I think he is trying to play a little bit more of a physical game. And I've seen in some interview at some point, he referred to himself as wanting to be a little bit more rat-like out there. And I think we have seen some of that from him. You know, he's another guy that, you know, seems awfully, awfully motivated to make his NHL dreams come true. And this year he's got 7 points in 21 games. Five of those are goals. He's definitely a shoot first kind of a guy. Been a little bit banged up, so he's been out of the lineup a couple of games here recently. But, you know, you're right on. He's a guy that certainly can do a lot of things for you. But the primary thing that I think of, if I were to just blurt out the first word that comes to mind, is that shot. That he offers and you know, and also just his willingness to fill whatever role is needed. I mean, you like guys at the American League level that are eager to kill penalties and stuff like that. And he's definitely one of those guys.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll go to the defenseman now. We've picked two. We'll first start with Jake Christensen, undrafted. Blue Jackets signed him. We've been through this before on the podcast, how he ended up in Columbus. They thought he was in Stockton AHL for a while. They let his rights go. The Blue Jackets pounced on him. He's been an incredibly productive player, especially from the blue line. I think there's some questions about how well he can defend or would be able to defend against NHL players. He is currently with the Blue Jackets on the taxi squad, having been called up just in the last day or so. But this is a guy who's, there's a lot to like about his game. Of course, it's the offensive side. But give us a scouting report, Tony Brown, on Jake Christensen. Can he be enough defensively? Because you know they want that skill set in the lineup. Can he be enough defensively to make it in the NHL?
You know, I mean, I think so. From what we've seen this year, I mean, he's been, without exaggeration, he's been the MVP of the Monsters this season. He's leading the team in scoring, sure, but plays a ton of minutes, plays in all situations. You know, from last year, which was a strong showing in the shortened season to this year, I've seen, you know, just a lot of growth in sort of the, you know, two-way portion of his game. I haven't seen a lot of holes. And you know, sometimes it's tough to, you know, you see a player that has success in the AHL and you wonder, does that translate to the next level? It's hard for me to say. You know, I've seen more American League games than I have National League games here in the last 7 years that I've been working in this league. But at least at this level, all I can tell you is he looks like a surefire all-star defenseman to me, and a guy that's been right up there, top 3-5 in the league amongst defensemen in literally every stat category this year. He's shown a real willingness to put the puck on the net. He's got like 60-some shots in 20 games this year. So, you know, I know you asked sort of more about the defensive side of the game. I don't see a lot of concern there. I mean, there's always room for improvement, but he's taken a huge step in my eyes from last season to this year. And yeah, it's not exaggerating to say he's been one of the best players the Monsters have had this season, if not the most reliable guy when you look at the entire campaign as a whole.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, when I think of offensive defensemen, there's some that are puck movers and some that are playmakers and some that are both. Some guys are puck carriers. How does he do his damage? Is he a quick puck mover? Does he like to cart the puck? How does he do his work or work his magic?
Yeah, I think a lot of it happens once you get into the offensive zone. I don't know that he's necessarily, you know, I guess you could call him a puck. I think that's fair. You could call him a puck moving defenseman for sure. I mean, once he gets, you know, particularly on the power play, once things get set up, I mean, it obviously all flows through him. And he's just got great vision. He's a playmaking guy for sure. But again, this year, even more so than last season, there's that willingness to also take the initiative, to take that extra stride, take that extra second, make the decision, and then deliver the puck to the net. So, you know, sometimes I struggle with sort of putting these guys into columns. I just think he's a quality defenseman that can, you know, take care of his own end, sure. But once he gets that puck and he accelerates up ice and picks up his eyes, you know, he can hurt you in a lot of different ways. And I guess one of those would be carrying it into the offensive zone. But we've seen him make a lot of great plays too in setting up his teammates this season off the rush. And then in my eyes, particularly once things are set up. So I think he's versatile. I think he's highly skilled. I think he's got a really bright future, and I'm crossing my fingers he gets into a couple of games for the Jackets here, because you know, he's been outstanding for the Monsters. And, you know, this is a team, you know, and a fan base here in Cleveland that's seen a couple of great offensive minded defensemen these last several years. You know, guys like Adam Clendenning come to mind, who's played a lot of games for Cleveland, now in the Philly organization. But, you know, he's another in that tradition in my eyes. And, you know, certainly can't really imagine him having done any more than he's done this year to grab this opportunity by the throat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The other defenseman, and this is really interesting, Tim Berney. Now, he would be adjusting big time, I would suspect, to life in North America. This is a player, he is from Switzerland. He's played his entire career until this year in the Swiss League. Pretty good numbers with Zurich, and makes the leap to North America this year. I think the Blue Jackets have high hopes for him. He's not a big guy by any means. I don't think he is an incredible offensive talent. Like we've discussed, he's not a Werenski or a Christensen or those guys that are point of game type guys, but there's some skill and some puck ability here, if that's a word. Tim Berney, your breakdown, Tony Brown, on Tim Berney.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I think of is smarts. You know, he's just a guy that seems to always make the right play in whatever, you know, area of the ice he's at. He's also a really good skater, but just a very high IQ type player. You know, he's played with a couple of different defensive partners this year. For a while, he was with Billy Sweezy, who's a defenseman that, you know, a little more physical, a little bit more, you know, a little contrast there with Tim. But, you know, they've had a lot of chemistry, and, you know, he's a guy that I think is certainly, you know, any team in the American League would love to have his skill set. And, you know, he can just sort of see the play develop in a way that allows him to be efficient in the way that he attacks up ice. And you know, he can shoot the puck a little bit. He's not shy about that. He just plays a very sound, smart kind of hockey. And then you see those flashes of the offense too, sort of mixed in there, but you're not kidding. I mean, it's gotta be a huge adjustment for him. That's, yeah. You know, he's a name that we've wondered, would we see him last season, you know, with the shortened year, that didn't turn out to be the case, but we've been kind of the last couple of years in Cleveland waiting for him to arrive. And now that he's here, I think he's come as advertised as a skilled guy. But for me, it's a smart brand of hockey that he plays. And you can see that from all the way up where I'm sitting. And I'm sure the fans can see it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on to the goalies. I think if you're of this list we've put together here, Tony, if you had to put some money on one of these guys for sure having a bright NHL career, it might be this next guy. Goaltender Daniil Tarasov. Big dude, 6'5", 185, but a patient player. That's the one thing that is mentioned by all every Blue Jackets player that's played the few games. He's played four NHL games this season, .937 save percentage. His numbers, oddly, are better, dramatically better in the National Hockey League, only four games, than they are in the American Hockey League, .893. But I'm guessing you still see some traits there that jump off the page as a goaltender. He's big, he's patient, he moves very well, but he also moves very efficiently, especially for a young player. What does Daniil Tarasov look like in the American Hockey League, Tony?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's one of those guys that you get a first, you know, couple of games with him in there and get your first impression of him. And you think, boy, we better enjoy this because he's not going to be around very long at this level. I mean, he's you said it. I mean, big, that's easy to spot. But he's athletic he in the best possible way. He covers a lot of ground in the net. You know, I think definitely there was a bit, as he had six games with the Monsters last year, of an adjustment to the smaller ice surface at the beginning of his transition. But I mean, he's just, you know, you watch these games and you can just see that it's almost like he knows it too. There's this certain self-assuredness. It's not cockiness. It's just, you know, he knows what he can do. And you know, he knows where he wants to be. I think he knows where he's going to be, and that's in the National Hockey League. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, athleticism is one word that comes to mind right away. And again, you know, like I was talking to one of my counterparts recently, and they mentioned him and said, oh, you know, he's kind of disappointed. The numbers aren't really, well, you know, if there was ever a case of the numbers not telling the story, it's with him. He's had some dominating performances. He, you know, gives the team obviously a chance to win every time he's in there. And even in games where he might give up, you know, four goals or something like that, there's oftentimes a spectacular athletic save or two that he's able to make where you're 100% certain as a broadcaster he's down and out, and this one's going in, and he finds a way to pull a rabbit out of his hat. So another guy that I really enjoy watch play, and I'm trying to savor it a little bit here, Aaron, because we're not going to see him in Cleveland for long.
Yeah. Take good pictures, as they say, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last guy on our list is an interesting, this is not a name you would have expected to be there, but boy, he stood out at Traverse City as he made some exceptional saves and just looked really composed and quick and together with the Jet Greaves goaltender, who spent most of the season in the East Coast Hockey League. Now, as we all know, it's a little bit different. Goalies are a little bit different than any other position in so many, many ways. But a guy spending most of the season in the East Coast Hockey League, not a big deal if he's a goaltender, because there's only so many spots and so many places for guys to play. Cleveland's got Tarasov, they've got Berube, and so Greaves has needed to play, and he's been doing that mostly at the East Coast Hockey League. He's got a .907 save percentage there, which is pretty damn good for that league, not the easiest league to tend goal in. His numbers in Cleveland, he's played just three games, but he's been really, really good, at least statistically. I'll let you tell me the rest, Tony. This is a kid I think might have something. Undrafted, you never know with goalies, but he's a young man, 20 years old. The athleticism is off the charts, and I think they think this is a pretty smart kid that maybe he's got a chance.
Oh, yeah. Talking to Brad Thiessen, who's the goaltending development coach for the Blue Jackets, sort of the de facto goalie coach for the Monsters, played for the Monsters for years. He loves this kid. And just quick aside, what a name, right? Jet Greaves.
Oh, I mean, really, you can't make it up. Yeah.
Love that. He's been really good. And remember with him, we talked about it when you're up at Traverse City there a little bit. That was one of the storylines. He hadn't played at all. He didn't play at all last year. He was with the Barry Colts. And so did not play a game for over a calendar year. So coming into this year, it's like, okay, is he going to snap back into it? Well, his debut for the Monsters was just super memorable. I remember it was the end of October. We were up in Belleville, just down the road. He's from Cambridge, Ontario. So he had his mom. He had some friends in the crowd. And ho-hum, throws out a 40-save performance. Monsters won the game 2-1. Talked That's to him after the game there the next morning. And, you know, it's like, what else could you possibly expect would happen? You know, like he was just very, very impressive the way that he's handled himself as a young player at this level. And also you said, you know, a lot of guys might not want to be in the ECHL, but he has taken full advantage of that chance to get regular minutes and play. And then when he's come up to Cleveland, he's been really good. I mean, his three performances, you know, one was that 40 save debut. Then he stopped 11 of 11 in relief I think it was early December against Milwaukee, and then played the next day too, made 33 saves. You know, he's certainly got like any young player, he's certainly, I'm sure, got a lot to work on, and a lot of things he's working on with Brad Thiessen and Manny Legacy and the rest of the goalies. But he is a gamer, and he shows up. If he's in the lineup, he's ready to go. And he's been awfully impressive and a fun guy to talk to off the ice as well. Excited to see what he can do with maybe a full season in the American Hockey League at some point here. But he's under contract for this year and next year on an American League deal. So I think Monster fans can look forward to seeing plenty of him in the years to come, at least next year. He's with the Monsters right now. We'll see if he gets in there on the road this weekend. But every time he's gotten an opportunity to play, he has looked like he belongs. And that's a great thing to say about a young player.
So, Tony, let me ask you, is there somebody here we haven't talked about, a player that you get to watch on a nightly basis and you think, that kid probably should be in this conversation? Who jumps to mind? You can name as many as you want.
Yeah, the first guy that hops right to the front of my mind is defenseman Cole Clayton. They call him Cowboy. Grew up out in Western Canada. There working on the ranch, and he's been really good. It took him a little while to get into the lineup. Monsters had a glut of defensemen there at the beginning of the season, but once he got in, he has not come out. Plays a very, very sort of sturdy, if that's a good word for it, kind of a game. I mean, he can make plays up ice. He's had a couple of just outstanding sort of stretch pass assists this year, but he also has definitely a lot of grit, a lot of toughness, versatile, good size on him too. Right shot defenseman, can't have enough of those guys. So I think he projects out to be a really good player at the next level. He played his junior hockey at Medicine Hat. And this year with the Monsters, he's become a guy that his role has only increased with each appearance that he's had. He's seen some power play time. He's taken nice advantage of that. So he's the first name that jumps into my mind. But really, there's a lot of guys. And sometimes, you know, when you work in the American League, you sometimes want to highlight some of the American League contracted players that maybe the Blue Jackets fans might not think about. Maybe these are guys who have been good pros for a couple of years and just wanted to throw a bone to a couple of great players that fit sort of that description. And Tyler Sekura, who recently had a little taste of NHL life from the taxi squad, and also Adam Holubka. These are just consummate professionals. These are guys who could help any team at any level, creative offensive players, guys who have worked really hard for the success that they've been able to achieve in their careers, and fantastic character guys in the dressing room too. I know they're veteran guys. They might not fit the mode of, you know, these prospects we've been talking about here, but great players. And another guy I'd throw in on the back end there is Thomas Shemich, who has been super, super solid for the Monsters, both last season and this year. He was originally a Florida Panthers draft choice, but I mean, just a defenseman that does everything well. He's been paired with Jake Christensen most of the year, and I'm sure they both benefited from one another. You know, again, sort of contrasting styles there, but super effective, super reliable, you know, playing huge minutes in all situations. So I think Shemmer deserves a lot of credit too. And the last one I'll throw in there is another experienced guy, but Dylan Simpson is the Monsters captain. He's a guy that's been with the club now for a while. He's committed to the team, signed a multi-year contract to be in Cleveland. He's earned that captaincy, and he's been, you know, banged up a little bit this season, but at least in the American League, you can't ask for anything more than what Dylan brings every single night that he's in there. And the leadership ability too is just comes naturally to him. And, you know, he was out of the lineup there for, I think, 5-6 games for Cleveland. He's one of those guys that, you know, when he's not in, you're like, what's missing? Something's missing here.
Yeah.
And so getting him back has been big for the Monsters. So, you know, us AHL guys, Aaron, you know, we kind of root for those other American League guys sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you guys have been off, I think it'll be 3 weeks come Friday. Are you going to get that game in your sense in Milwaukee?
We're packing the bus and taking off tomorrow. So I sure as heck hope so. You know, last I heard it's happening. I guess you can't take anything for granted. It's like right up until the opening faceoff. Is this game going to happen or not? But looking forward to hitting the road and looking forward to heading to one of my favorite AHL road stops in the Brew City of Milwaukee. Always fun to go there and catch up with the voice of the Admirals, Aaron Sims, and great building there too. They play now at the old Mecca. It's now called Panther Arena, right across from the Fiserv Forum there. So love going to Milwaukee. Hopefully we can not only enjoy the trip, but maybe even play a hockey game too.
Yeah. And I was going to say, your pipes sound terrific, Tony. They sound well-rested, like they've been taken care of over the holidays, and they damn well better, because you got 3 games in 3 nights starting Friday, and cross your fingers, you can get them all in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one way to find out, but definitely raring to get back at it. And we'll see what the team has. Like we said, it's 1 game in 26 days. That's kind of crazy. I mean, it's like, I don't really know how to put that into perspective, but 3 weeks without a game, maybe that's, you know, an excited team that's ready to go. Maybe that's a team that needs to, you know, get back into the groove. Who knows? But looking forward to finding out. And as long as we play the games, that's that's more than you can ask for at this point.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tony Brown, thanks for joining us. Folks, you can follow him on Twitter, at Tony Brown PXP. That's play-by-play. Tony Brown, PXP. Thanks, man, for being with us. Thanks for filling us in on all things Cleveland Monsters, and I'm sure we will be in touch throughout the season, because it's going to be there's lots of games to follow, hopefully.
It's my pleasure, Aaron. Thanks again for the invitation. It was a lot of fun, man, and happy late New Year to you.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Same to you, and happy travels, man. We'll stay in touch.
Thanks very much. We'll see you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.